chapter that kind of goes along with each. Mm-hmm. And the next section here is the today section.
The present.
Yes. And it says, verse 11, give us today the food we need.
Or in like other translations, give us today our daily bread. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. For those of us who
learned the King KJV.
James. Yeah. Learned the King James, which is probably most of us. Yes. Give us today the food we need. So this is a prayer of reliance mm-hmm. on God, of looking to Him to supply our needs, going to Him for everything, really.
Yeah.
Everything that we need. So we say the word food or daily bread, but really that just is all encompassing kind of terminology that could be used for any of our needs.
Right.
Supply our needs, the things that we need to live. God, will you be our source? Is what this is saying. And this term that we translate as today or daily, this is the only place that that word is used in the entire Bible.
That's cool.
Yeah. Jesus uses this word daily. And so when we put that together with food, our daily food, or give us today the food that we need, it just means food for today.
Right. You're not saying, God, give me food for this week.
For my life. Take care of all my needs.
Mm-hmm. It's today. Which also implies you have to go back each day. Right.
Right. Yeah. And that, I think, just takes us back to the Old Testament story that most of us are familiar with. But when the Israelites have been led out of Egypt and they're in the desert, mm-hmm. and they need food and they need God to provide for them, because clearly when they ran out of there in the middle of the night, they couldn't take food mm-hmm. for what ended up being 40 years. And so they had to cry out to God saying, God, would you feed us? And so he sends them manna and quail. And every day when they wake up, it has basically rained food all around their camp. And they're told to go out and collect the food that they need for that day.
Because they didn't bring their refrigerators.
Right. Right. And because God wanted them to rely on him mm-hmm. daily. And what happened if they gathered more than that day's food? The food would spoil overnight. Mm-hmm. They would not be able to eat it the next day. So it was a training ground for them for this prayer. Give us today what we need for this day. And so it takes us every day back to him. Every day back to him.
I love it. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't, though, like it.
Yeah, no, I like it. I love it when you are talking about it, because it is so beautiful that he just keeps bringing us back to himself, drawing us to himself. I don't like it when I'm like, but God, I do need to know what the next 10-year plan is. So if you could just give me that now, provide forever, which he will, but we still have to keep going back.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And when we hit those bumps and snags of life, like our husband's job suddenly disappearing.
Yeah.
We just had someone come through the office last week, and she and her husband worked at the same place, and they just did away with so many jobs, and both of them lost their jobs. She's like, but I know God's going to provide. That's what this is about.
Yeah, which is so funny. I mean, it's not funny. I use that term a lot. It's ironic that Stephen, my husband, has lost his job. He doesn't get fired. He's a contractor. So when they don't have extra money, he can't work twice. And I think in the last couple of years, he has grown so much that when he does, we both are like, well, God is going to provide. And it's going to be okay. And that is such a great place to be, because that stress is not fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we do. We have to bring it to him every day.
Yes. Yes. I like the word here, give us today the food we need. Mm-hmm. We're not asking God to lend us. We're not asking God to sell to us. We're asking him to give to us. So this is a request of dependence, and it's getting our hearts in the position to receive. Mm-hmm. Say, will you give me what I need? That is hard thing for us to do. We don't like to depend on other people. We don't like to ask others to supply our needs.
No, that's vulnerability. It's scary.
We've been trained to supply our own needs, to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
To
well, like it's like the American dream, right? To get the white picket fence and supply all the things and have the nice cars. And that's what the American dream is. So that's what we've been taught, even through school, I remember. Like that was the goal. Mm-hmm. And it was all self-reliance. It was never dependence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're completely in this request, flipping most of what we've been taught on its head, in that we're saying, God, will you give me what I need? And this is not in any way saying we don't partner with him, right, that we're lazy, that we don't need to work, that we're just going to sit back and wait for all of our food to show up on our doorstep. That's,
I always think about stewarding what he does give in that moment. Like, because I think of people that like, maybe they are living paycheck to paycheck, you know, waiting daily for that food. Mm-hmm. And they're in such a good place to repeatedly go back to him. Right. But that doesn't mean when you get a paycheck, you go blow it on a new car or something like that. You do need to be wise and steward what he does give you well.
Right. Yes. And that goes back to kingdom, which we already talked about, right? Is that if we believe that we are part of his kingdom and that I am living as a member of his kingdom, then I want his will for my money. Mm-hmm. And so I will use it in that way.
Right.
But yes, we still have to work. But what this is teaching us is that we don't have to worry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to work, but I'm going to then live in dependence and trust that God's going to supply what I need and that I don't have to live worried that my needs will be supplied.
Right.
But yes, this is very much about needs, which is a good point that you're making, is that I don't need a brand new car. I could live with a beater. I don't need to get my nails done. I could live with my nails.
I feel like you're speaking to me. I haven't done painted my nails in forever. My car's falling apart. You know this.
I'm not speaking to you at all. No, I'm speaking to all of us. It's true, though. Like, it's something for all of us, you know, and I told you, I feel like God has kind of allowed us financially to live in this place just where we have what we need, but we do without a lot of luxuries. And that's okay. Yeah. That's okay, because it's taught us this dependence. I don't need to get my nails done. I don't need to have a new car. I don't need these things. What I need is provided. What I need will be cared for, and I've never lacked.
Yeah.
So it's...
Well, and then you think about people, in Africa, or I don't know, I've said multiple times, I keep listening to different countries and stuff, but they have no choice but to rely on God, and he moves so big there because of their dependence. Right. So cool. I actually just told Stephen again this morning, I was like, we should move to Africa. But he's not on board. But
yeah.
So you've told me that the Lord's Prayer is about sin.
Yeah.
Want to elaborate on that?
Yeah. Well, I just think that every phrase of this talks about either living in God's will or living out of God's will. And so therefore it's all about sin. It's all about, you know, sin is any time that we're living outside of his will. And we'll get into that a little bit more in the next session. But in this prayer, this phrase of this prayer, give us today the food we need, we're addressing, I believe, the sins of pride and worry. Mm. So the sin of pride says, I can provide what I need for this day.
Yeah.
I've got the ability. I've got the capacity. I've got the desire. I've got to. You know, that's what pride says. Pride says, I will provide for myself. Mm-hmm. I can do this. And it's just, it's a belief that everything I do on my own. Humility recognizes that if I have any capacity to work for a living, it's because God gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Humility says, if I can provide, it's because God allowed me to provide. So when, even when we're looking at it this way, you know, we've got to step outside of pride and say, give us today the food we need. Okay, that's going to require me to work, but I can only go to work today if God allows me to wake up with a body that takes me to work. Some of us know what it's like to not have bodies that are allowed to work.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's a different type of reliance. But we have to recognize that in any given day, that capacity could be removed from me.
Mm-hmm.
That any amount of smarts you have, any amount of strength you have, any amount of creativity that you have, it's all being given to you by God. So when we go to God daily in dependence, we are fighting pride, the sin of pride.
My husband has a tendency toward this, mm-hmm. but I've seen him this last couple years again, just daily. He does it at night. We pray with our daughter, but every night he thanks him for being able to work. And Quinn has started doing it too. And so it's kind of like a reality check, for lack of a better term, but it checks his pride,
right,
and reminds him, God is letting me do this. God is providing this job today, my body. Yeah, all of the things. I'm probably more prone to the other.
The worry.
Yeah.
So worry, I think, is the other thing that we're fighting in this prayer. And, you know, we have to choose at some point, who is going to be my provider? Is it going to be God or is it going to be myself? And if we choose self, then we're also doomed to live a life of worry.
Mm-hmm.
Because I now have taken the weight of God as our provider onto myself. And now I have to provide for myself. And so then it becomes this worry about the future, this worry about what about tomorrow? Am I going to be able to do this tomorrow? What's going to come? What, you know, well, then I need to provide and I need a plan for that. And I need to, and then we just start like jumping ahead years and years and years and trying to have a plan and trying to, well, work around this and figure out this and save up and store up and all of these things that our brains just start going crazy. And suddenly we're slaves to worry.
Yeah.
Because we think that we are our own providers.
Yeah. I as if you've listened to the podcast, I struggle with anxiety, but I actually have been delivered from it, which has been crazy. Like, you guys, I did not even know what to do with myself without anxiety. And it's because worry was my provider. So I called Karen and I was like, I'm not worrying about Quinn all the time. Like, I'm not staying up. I'm not waking up worried. I feel like I'm not being caring. Like, I feel like I'm loving her badly. But it was just because I had chosen worry to be my provider for so long that when I didn't have it, I felt unsteady. And I had tricked myself into believing that if I worried, that it would prepare me or protect us.
You have a false sense of security.
Yes. And then it leads into control and a whole host of other things. But yeah. And so definitely it's the choice of worry or God. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. Yeah. Worry or God. Pride or God. And this,
pride or God, yeah.
This prayer is just setting us back in a place of humility, in a place of dependence, in this place of every day putting ourselves back. That's why it's give us today. So every day I'm coming back to God and I'm putting myself back into position and saying, I'm not the boss. I'm not in charge. I don't need to worry because you're my provider and you're going to take care of me today.
I don't think that I ever have fully been there. And these last even few weeks, which, you know, has like really, I'm being shown that. And it is so, I understand about the yoke being light. That's how it feels. Like, just this heavy burden of trying to control everything and worry about everyone and provide not only for myself, but everybody else is gone. And it's like, it's so freeing. But yeah.
Yeah. Let's, I'm going to jump right past all of this just because where you're already talking about your story. I think it's helpful for us to just to sit there for a minute and to talk a little bit more about your story and worry and lack of trust or the desire to trust yourself, to control.
Yeah.
Can you just talk a little bit about how you think this came to be your norm, how this came to be who you've become?
Yeah. And again, this has really been shown to me in the last couple of weeks. So it's really new and raw for me. But and we've been praying a lot for this, and God keeps revealing things to me. And even just this morning, he's been just revealing these things to me. But I was raised by an alcoholic parent. And so I had two younger siblings. And if I didn't provide for me and my siblings, things were bad. And it was scary. And so through that, I learned a reluctance to trust someone that was supposed to care for me, someone that was supposed to provide for me, and not only for me, but my siblings. Mm-hmm. And so it was a lot of weight. And so today, well, I'm working on it, but I have a hard time trusting God to provide for me. It feels scary. Mm-hmm. Feels like I don't want to even ask him because if he doesn't, it would just be a reminder of my childhood. And I just don't want to be hurt again. And that's kind of what happened when I was a child. I was like, I don't want to keep getting hurt, so I will just do this myself. And so now I'm at a place that it feels foreign and unsafe to ask or trust him to give me my daily bread.
Right. So because a human let you down again, you learned that you needed to be self-sufficient, that you needed to care for yourself, that you needed to not turn to others in your need because others were going to let you down. The person who was supposed to take care of you wasn't. And then not only did you need to take care of yourself, but you had to take care of your siblings as well. Mm-hmm. And so when these patterns are just reinforced time and again, humanly, then we start to that disappointment onto God and say, God, I don't think I can trust you. I'm going to have to control my life so that I can be taken care of because I don't trust anybody to take care of me.
Yeah. And it was even to the point of like, you know, you're one of my very closest friends and I couldn't bring you into hard things. And you've seen, I know you've seen a difference and a growth. But even my husband. And what's so funny is God has shown me that, and I would never have known that while I was doing it. Like I thought I was bringing people in, but I really wasn't. Even this last week, I fully brought you guys into something hard, and it was again so freeing. I just really feel like God is freeing me. And this isn't to say that I'm not doing work for it, but I had to ask him for it.
And that goes along with what our prayer is that we're talking about here, which is petitionary prayer. So that's when we ask God for what we need. That's exactly what this line of this, of the Lord's Prayer is. It's petitionary prayer. It's saying, God, will you supply my needs? Will you take care of me? Will you do what I need? And it's exactly what you're saying, because so many people are reluctant to ask God for what they need. And the reason is why? Why are we reluctant to ask God? Either we think, I don't want to bother him.
Yeah.
Why would I bother God with
this small thing when there's world hunger?
right. Why would I ask God for this? We don't want to bother him. He's God. Why would I ask him about each and every little thing? Or we think, he already knows. So why would I ask him? He knows what I need. And again, we don't want to be a bother. And that's a lot of this self-reliance, is that we've learned that we're a bother and we don't want to be a bother.
Right.
Or we've learned that it's not going to be met and therefore we don't want to ask. And those things just aren't true of God.
Right. They're not. Old Richie Rich, I'll actually quote him, Richard Foster, wrote this quote that I really like, and it pertains to both of these things. He says, These are matters of great magnitude to him, mm-hmm. because they are matters of great magnitude to us. So even when you're running late to work and it is stressful, you can bring it to God. Like little things. Oh, I hit a red light. I spilled my coffee all over. Little things that bother us, he wants to know about. It says, it is a false humility to stand back and not share our deepest needs. His heart is wounded by our reluctance. Just as we long for our own children to share with us the petty details of their day at school, so God longs to hear from us the smallest matters of our lives. It delights him when we share.
Yeah. False humility, which is equivalent to pride.
Yeah. False humility is pride. It's pride to not share with God. Mm-hmm. It can seem like, and the enemy can trick us, and we can convince ourselves we're being better mm-hmm. by not sharing, but that's not the truth. Okay. I know we didn't talk about this, but I really want to bring this up. It's so easy to bring others' needs to God and to, I can ask God questions like, hey God, do you want me to do this or this today? What should I do with Quinn? All of these things, but I didn't realize, and I thought I was good to go. But I did not realize that I have such a hard time with petitionary prayer. And it's partially because of what we've talked about, mm-hmm. but I think so many women do. Mm-hmm. And Richard Foster talks about that in his book too, how easy it would be to stay in a place where we just worshiped God and just, brought questions to him or prayed for others, intercession.
Right.
But that's not where we're called to be or stay.
Yeah. And it's a trust issue. We're afraid to ask for what we need or what we want because we're afraid that he's going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're afraid that we're going to be disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
As we learn to trust that he is a good father who has our best interest in mind, then we learn to trust that if I ask, even if I ask for the wrong thing and then he says no, that he's still going to take care of me, mm-hmm. that he's still going to do what's best for me. And we don't like no's. We don't like no's. And so then we just don't ask instead of saying, God, this is what I need. And again, this comes back to this is a request for our needs.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to take care of our needs. Not always everything we want, but he will take care of our needs. And as we've learned, throughout this past semester, so much of prayer is listening. And I think a big piece of petitionary prayer is saying, God, what do I need from you?
Mm-hmm.
Help me to revise my requests so that I'm asking what you want to give me.
He quoted someone, and I didn't write this down because mm-hmm. we're kind of, winging it right now. But he said, somebody else said that petitionary prayer can only be refined, or God will refine petitionary prayer through petition. So mm-hmm. the more we ask mm-hmm. for what we need, God will refine it mm-hmm. as we ask it. Mm-hmm. Refine it. Gosh, my words.
Yeah. It's okay. He also, he said in here, where do I write this down? Something about open hands. Oh
yeah.
It was Augustine. God gives where he finds empty hands. I like that. God gives mm-hmm. where he finds empty hands. And so part of empty hands is letting go of control.
Mm-hmm.
And part of empty hands is recognizing our need that, that we can't do any of it on our own, that everything we have is his, everything comes from us.
Yeah.
As we look down in that passage a little bit further, in Matthew 6, it's the very famous passage on worry. Do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear, mm-hmm. all of this. Who of us by worrying can add a single hour to our lives? These verses that we've heard over and over, cast all of it on him is what he's telling us. Like, our worries cannot add a single moment to our lives. We have to just live in dependence on him. We have to just continue to seek him. It doesn't say that we have no faith, but it says sometimes we have too little faith mm-hmm. and we need more faith so that we can ask him for what we need. Verse 31 and 32, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? And what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
that your Heavenly Father already knows your needs. Worry is a characteristic of an unbeliever. So when we are living worried lives, when we're living in continual worry, we're living like unbelievers. That right there is
convicting.
Very convicting. It's very convicting that we need to request, that we need to ask of Him, that we cannot go to worry as our provider. We have to go to God as our provider. And so that's like a daily little death, right? Every day when we start to worry, we say, no, that's not it. It's not on me. I need to put those thoughts to death and I need to go back to God every moment, every moment, every moment. And Foster talks about that. And he says, we start with little things, just little tiny things. We start asking God for the very little things that we need. And as we petition Him, petition grows petition, right? So then we grow and our faith grows so that we can ask for bigger things and bigger things.
Mm-hmm. And then we're not scared and we trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when the no's come, it doesn't throw us.
Right.
Because we have grown in trust.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because we've seen Him provide. The name Jireh, God, my provider, mm-hmm. just comes to mind so often lately. God is my provider. And if God calls us to something, if God sends us somewhere, if God asks something of us, He's going to provide what we need. So we just come to Him daily saying, God, you are Jireh. You are my provider. Provide what I need for this day, every day, every moment, just continually going back to Him in this prayer. You were saying it's like being a child. What it's all about.
Right. Yeah. Looking to Him as our Father. Mm-hmm. Because when Quinn comes home, and I said this, Richard Foster said this, but, and her day is full of kindergarten drama and playing games and things, mm-hmm. I still care. It literally does not affect me. Do I think, mm-hmm. like, it is not going to affect her for the rest of her life? But I still want to know every single day. Because I don't stop caring.
Relationship.
Yeah, because it brings us closer. It grows intimacy. And that's what petition is. Prayer of petition is. It's growing intimacy with your Father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And through that, I think He'll refine our requests in that as we ask Him, as we get, it takes us deeper into relationship with Him. And then eventually we start to see that the things that we've been asking, I didn't need that.
There was a question and it was, what would it look like if I got every single prayer I'd ever asked for? And I thought about that and I was like, ugh, that is scary. Thank you, God. I would have a whole zoo and I would not be able to do this because I'd be taking care of my animals. He knows what's best.
Right. Right. I mean, think of all the relationships that we've been saved from, you know.
Oh, my goodness. High school? Yeah.
You thought were your soulmate. And God was like, that's not my best for you. You know,
but it is, God.
So many.
Yeah.
So many things that, yes, that we ask for. And it's not what you want.
And so then with those things that you can look back on and see, like, goodness, I am glad that I am Stephen and not the person that I once prayed that I was with. Right. But then you can trust Him. You can look back and remind yourself of those things and trust Him when the hard notes hit,
mm-hmm.
when miscarriages or death or loss of jobs hit. You can know that even though you don't get it right now, He is for your good and for His glory.